there was that commercial before Civil War with Storm and Nightcrawler. And then they had like the M&M's hostage. They're like talking to each other about the M&M's. They're like, "I whisper, do you know what happened?"
Well, no, because they said Storm wanted Nightcrawler's M&M's, and he said, "No, I'm saving them for a rainy day." So, you know, Storm starts making it rain. Mm. And that's what you turned and said.
I said, "Do you know what happens to an M&M that gets struck by lightning?"
And
that was good. I'm a funny guy.
Ever.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for May 6, 2016. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ashka.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, good.
Good, good, good. So we're going to talk, I'm going to do kind of some non-spoiler talk on Uncharted, because I got to play all of it. I just played a little bit of it, and it doesn't actually come out until like May 10, so I don't want to say too much, really.
Yeah.
But then we're also going to do a little non-spoiler Civil War, but then afterwards we're going to go full on with that, because we both saw it last night, so we'll tell you when.
Do we make this an Uncharted sandwich with Civil War bread?
No, we just start on Uncharted. Okay. Then we'll do our special zone, which I don't know what else.
There's not. Special zone's a spoiler section. I think those three sections, we got enough to talk
maybe
about.
Well, because like I said, Uncharted, like, it's hard to, like, I don't want to say anything too specific about it, because I really do think you should just kind of go in and, you know, have fun. But, I mean, I really liked it, obviously.
Really, really good. Here's the non-spoiler stuff I can talk about. So there's an option in the game. I forget what they call it. Like, it's like a sticky targeting thing. Like, when you squeeze in an L2, it just kind of snaps you to the closest enemy, to your reticule. Call of Duty kind of does that, but not quite as hard as this game does. Like, it puts, like, a target over them and everything. Hmm. Which, I'm sure there's, like, some peers out there is like, "Oh, that's baby mode." It's like, you know what? I'm playing Uncharted to see how many headshots I can get. I just kind of want to kill the guys and look cool doing it.
No, I didn't turn that on per se, but I can totally kind of get it. The only thing, like, one of my favorite aspects of, like, the shooter mechanics of the game is the way that it is actually kind of stealth-focused to a degree, most encounters. But the odds kind of stacked against you in such a way that you're probably going to eventually get spotted and trigger a fight scene. Which kind of almost makes more sense for the character.
Yeah, he's not like a covert agent.
Right, he's like, it's kind of almost about taking out as many guys as you can until you get spotted. Or, you're probably not going to take out every guy in an area, but a lot of times you can take out enough of them so that you can make the mad dash for the exit. And maybe they'll see you, maybe they won't, but even if they see you, it's like they can't
chase
you.
You're like, "So long, suckers."
Yeah, exactly. That kind of a thing. But in general, I'm pretty confident saying this because I've played the other ones. I felt like there just wasn't as much shooting in this game as kind of the previous three. I mean, I don't know if that was in my head, but I just played Uncharted 2 again not too long ago because of the collection. And, you know, if you put a gun in my head, ask me what genre that game is, I would still say third-person shooter. And I wouldn't really say that for this. Again, there's still shooting segments, but there's a lot more of the kind of platforming, exploration.
I've only gotten to put about 2 hours into it. I've had one shooting section, and it was actually...
Yeah, the prologue especially is pretty...
Yeah,
light.
So... And I'm totally cool with that, because, I mean, I love the Uncharted games, but the shooting is probably my least favorite element of them. Not to say it's bad, but that's not why I'm playing Uncharted.
The game just looks so good, I don't understand it.
Well, I don't understand what Naughty Dog is doing differently from literally every other video game developer in the world.
I don't,
Like, what do they figure out? Who do they sell their souls to?
Right, like, there's certain things I get, I know why the animation looks so good, because they have their fancy mocap studios and they hire good actors.
Have mocap.
Yeah, but it's still,
that's been done.
But it's like, yeah, it's like, they're like, the character models just look ridiculous, they're animated perfectly, but then, like, the environments... Like
the draw distance, the detail.
Even like the the outdoor ones, there's just so much foliage and just stuff going on. It never feels like that. You know how sometimes it kind of feels like you're going through this line in a fake outdoor environment?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, it feels a lot more open than that. But even like the indoor environments.
Well, like, there's a part where you're in a house, and you know, like, usually in a game when you're in the house, like, you look at, like, all the things lying around, like milk cartons and stuff, yeah. and they just don't look as good as anything else. Right. Like, they look out of place. Doesn't happen in this game. Characters are eating, and you can actually see the individual vegetables they're eating with a fork and putting in their mouths, and it looks perfect. Like, come on.
No, but, like, yeah, like, it's, like, fun just, like, walk around and kind of look at things and houses and stuff. Just so much, yeah, the amount of detail just absolutely bonkers. Yeah, I just don't get
it. I don't get it. Like, I mean, Witcher 3 on my gaming PC turned up to the highest settings I can muster is about on par with it, maybe. Right. The animation's not quite as good.
I think the only thing that maybe it would have on it is frame rate, but again, this is one of those games that, like, doesn't horribly suffer from, like, not having the super high frame rate because it's such a cinematic-y thing.
I understand the difference. Witcher 3 is maybe a bad comparison because that's an open-world game.
It's, I get that a little bit because it's not necessarily open-world, but there's still very large areas.
Oh, sure.
It's not like a corridor. It's not like a Call of Duty.
Right.
It's a very big game. Yeah, it is just... It's almost like an argument against that PlayStation Neo.
Well, the argument for is, imagine this game, but in 4K or 60 frames per second. I mean, I guess that's what it is.
My point is, like, if every game looked just that good, I would be completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, I'm not going to spend $400 to make my games look a little bit better than this, because this is
bonkers.
Easily the best... Like, you know, PC stuff is kind of a whole thing as whatever, but still looks about as good as any PC game I played.
Oh, yeah.
But console-wise, easily the best looking console game
I've ever seen.
Which is, yeah, it's just, I almost don't understand how...
Let me ask you, because I actually haven't played it yet, but how did it compare to Rise of the Tomb Raider, both as a kind of gameplay and graphics thing?
I mean, I like it better. Kind of going back, Rise of Tomb Raider probably a bit more shootery.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is maybe a difficulty problem with me, but I felt like it was a very easy shooter too on normal mode. The one way that Rise of Tomb Raider differentiates itself is that it is a bit more open world. It's not like a huge open world, but it's definitely a bit more open. Like, it's kind of about going around and exploring a bit more. Like, by the best part of Uncharted, I mean, in Tomb Raider, like, those optional caves you find.
Right,
stuff like that. But, like, in so many ways, like, graphically, character-wise, storytelling, it's just, like, a step below Uncharted in a way. Still a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. I still really like what they've done. And, in fact, never mind that. But I was about to say something that maybe I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's like, gotta check myself.
Easy now.
You got to play around with the rope mechanic a bit, though, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's funny, because it's completely unrealistic. Yeah. It's like this weird Spider-Man bungee cord that somehow ungrapples itself. But whatever. It's super fun.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And,
Wow, you look blank.
I just completely brain farted.
I thought maybe you were thinking, is this a spoiler? Should I not say
it? No, I was like, I have my next point, and it's going to be great.
And it's going to be terrific.
And it's going to be terrific. Man, I haven't brain farted this bad on this show.
Wow, I mean, you had a very blank
I was, like, terrified. I was just like...
You're like, oh no, there's silence.
What okay, yes, I got it. And I like, too, that, like, sometimes you have these... You can, like, engage with people with optional dialogues.
Yeah, it's cool, because a lot of people are worried it's going to be this weird Mass Effect thing, like, your choices matter. And it's like, add your own flavor to the story. Well,
there's a few of them where that's literally, like, you have three choices. And they're not very important, usually. Like, this is not an example. This is a really big spoiler. Like, I think this was even in a video where, like...
You're talking to a character, and you get to tell... a story, and it's just basically, do you want to tell them the plot of Uncharted 1, 2, or 3?
Right, so it's basically like, what's your favorite Uncharted?
Yeah.
So everyone picks 2, and then
I picked 1! I figured start from the beginning.
But now, and there aren't really a whole lot of those, but what I like even more is that there are times where a character will have, like, a little dialogue bubble above them, you can go up to them, push triangle, and you, like, talk to them a bit more before, like, kind of progressing. And you don't have to do those, but it's super cool because you get a little bit more dialogue and flavor.
So why wouldn't you?
Right.
That's the best part of the game.
It actually counts as an unlockable, too, quote-unquote.
Here's one of the best things about this new PS4 engine that they've developed that is subtle, but I think makes all the difference in the world. There's no longer a difference between the cinematics engine and the game engine. Like, you don't have that, like, little flash to black that happens between. It just keeps going.
Right,
it's which a lot makes because it's cool because you never know when a more cinematic moment's going to happen because they can pop up in any moment.
Just the pacing in general, I really like between these kind of, like, slower moments where you're just kind of walking and talking to a character, between these kind of, like, platforming, climbing things, stealth moments, cutscene, then shooting, then like escape. It's just, it all kind of flows very well.
Plus the prologue chapter is one of the best video game tutorials.
Yeah, it's very generation. It's very subtle.
Like, you don't even realize they're teaching you how to play the game until you're done. You're like, oh,
it's very,
I know what they just did.
It's very clever with all of that. And the melee brawling is so good.
This is like...
It's kind of like what Peter Molyneux talked about for Fable 2 exactly. Back when.
It's not... It's different from Batman, because in Uncharted, previously used to do this, where a triangle is like your counter. You don't really counter anymore.
It's more like your escape button.
Yeah, like, people will grab you, and it's just, okay, well, I need to get out of this grab. You can dodge, and you have your punches. But yeah, like, everything in the environment has some kind of interaction.
That's
like,
what's cool.
I had a fight end with a certain kind of, like, finishing animation. I don't know if it was supposed to happen like that, or if it just coincidentally... But it just seemed like you flowed there right now. But it just seemed right, yeah.
And it works really cool if, like, your partners, like, sometimes they'll grab a person and be like, hey, Nate, and you'll go over and punch them. Sometimes if they're just by you, they'll, like, come by and, like, immediately help you do a double takedown.
Yeah. Or they'll get grabbed and be like, Nate, help me, and you go, like, get... And what's cool is, like, so there was a moment where one of my AI buddies was being held by a guy. He called for help. I walk up, hit the punch button, and they, like, time, like, he looked, like, the guy who was held looked at him, waited, and ducked at the last second so I could punch the guy behind him.
It's crazy how well it all flows.
It is. It's so cinematic, mm-hmm. in a way that a game never has been.
Yeah, exactly. I've loved this series so much. I know, like, some people don't. I don't
quite get that, but whatever.
No, that's my thing. Like, usually some people, like, I like a thing that people don't like. I get it. Like, I get why people don't like Kingdom Hearts, right?
Right.
I get why a person might not like Mega Man. I don't understand why people don't like Uncharted. I love these games. They're just so fun and beautiful and exciting. It was the kind of game that when I was reviewing it, like, my sessions would basically last as long as my battery and my controller would die, and I'd be like, well, it's like 1:30 a.m. I should probably charge the battery and go to sleep, I guess. But, I mean, you know, I could just keep playing. And, you know, at that point, like, I liked the places the story went. You know, there's moments where I was kind of getting emotional, especially because, you know, this is where it's very much a brother-focused thing. And I have brothers. Oh. I felt like the need to punch you or splash water in your face to counteract that sweet moment.
Please don't.
But, man, yeah, I was just very cool. And plus, this is, like... You know, Char 1 was kind of like the Incan or Mayan, or, you know, one of the... Yeah. I was so bad that I can't differentiate those two. 2 was like the Himalayan kind of thing. 3 was sort of Arabian. And this is like very piratey, mm-hmm. which is super cool and fun. And without saying, there are some fun surprises that are both kind of references inside and outside the series that are just fun. Yeah.
So good.
It's just great. This is
so good. If you have a PlayStation 4, just buy this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game you bought the PlayStation 4 for.
Yeah, this is the best single-player game to come out this generation easily, I think,
mm-hmm.
For me. I mean, God, it's so good. So, yeah, exactly. If you have that system, I don't understand how you wouldn't play Uncharted 4. But, again, I also don't understand how people don't like this series. And that's kind of still the question I'm asking myself. Do I like this better than Uncharted 2? I'm still not sure, because Uncharted 2 is such a masterpiece.
Have you replayed it? You did the...
I played Uncharted 2 recently. So
you have it fresh in your mind, which is good.
And again, there's a lot of differences. Like I said, Uncharted 2 is probably a bit more of a shooter. I will say this. I don't know if there is still a single, like, segment I like better than the train level in Uncharted
2. Oh, yeah, that's just incredible.
Right. I still don't know if there's, like, that
That moment. Still to this day is technically mm-hmm. impressive,
And I will say, like, one thing that I kind of regret a bit is, not on my part, but I think maybe the moment that might have competed with it was something that they showed off as an E3 demo. So you like,
oh, yeah.
You play through it, and you kind of like had already seen it. You're like,
that's okay. A bummer.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's like, this is cool and all, but yeah. So
yeah, I know exactly what's going to happen.
Right. But yeah, God, I love Uncharted.
All right.
Civil Wars.
Yeah, speaking of things that are good.
Civil Wars.
So, Civil War, Captain America Civil War, new Marvel movie. This is
out today, technically.
The beginning of Phase 3. Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What exactly does Phase 3 all include?
So Phase 3 includes pretty much everything they've announced so far, really. Right. So that means this movie, Doctor Strange, I believe we're still getting Ms. Marvel as part of this.
Is Black Panther still getting Black a little Panther, movie? Black Panther. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Guardians 2, the Spider-Man movie that's being co-produced with Sony.
Ant-Man and Wasp, and then the two...
And then the two Avengers, which they've previously called Infinity Wars Part 1 and 2, but the Russo brothers have said, like, they're changing the names because they really want them... they're gonna be two different movies. It's not like it's gonna end with two.
I think part of that too is like, especially with what that last Hunger Games thing, where like the part two didn't really do as well.
Yeah,
I think people are kind of getting over that. Like Harry Potter started that whole part one, part two thing.
Right.
People are like, okay, enough of that.
Yeah, it's real. Mm-hmm. But, and it's different too, and it's not based off a book, I guess.
But it is still. Let me ask you: do you think this was a Captain America movie? He was the main character.
Yes.
But it's definitely not in, like, the way Winter Soldier was, right?
True. I mean, it's a lot of people joke that it's Avengers 2.5, which I think is very fair to say, because, I mean, aside from Thor and Hulk, they're pretty much all there.
I mean, this movie has more single superheroes than any other superhero movie ever, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But it handles them all well. I mean, and especially consider this movie introduces two new heroes to the roster, right, and it totally works.
It is very surprising that they have all these heroes, basically everyone from before, and all, like, introducing these new ones while also trying to focus primarily on Captain America and Iron Man, and like nobody really feels that lost in the shuffle.
No.
Like,
no.
Even like people who don't do a whole lot, like Hawkeye and Ant-Man, still feel very well like represented and a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that aspect of it was, like, very well executed.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I'm kind of comparing, like, the only thing this really takes from the comic book adaptation is the idea that Captain America and
Iron Man
are on opposite sides, and the issue revolves around, like, government control, in mm-hmm. a way. Other than that, it's very different. In a lot of ways, a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't, like, the comic arc started very strong, but it ultimately kind of fizzled out.
Well, part of that because the comic was like literally every Marvel character chose a side, and like no one thought it was a bad idea.
Well, the problem with the comic event was that the fun part was seeing which side people chose.
Yeah,
like the best thing about that was like when Spider-Man like sided with Tony Stark and like revealed who he was. Like, I'm not a vigilante anymore. Like, that was like, oh wow, cool.
Yeah.
But like this, yeah, the divide kind of feels a bit more real, and like in the end of the comic was basically Captain America giving up. He's like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, lame.
Well, what this movie does so well is, despite all these characters, like, you know, choosing a side, you never feel like they hate each other. Like, they still like each other. They just can't come to an agreement on this ideology that they are trying to work towards. And
even, like, some of them are a bit more, like, friendlier with each other still than others, in a way.
Yeah. I mean,
like, some of the characters are kind of out for blood, in a way.
Well, and the ones who are the ones who, frankly, like, haven't been in as many of the movies, and you haven't had the chance to see them form relationships. Like, they've always kind of been a little more outsidery.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I will say, I did like the movie, but the team fight, which, you know, we've seen kind of like almost starting the trailer, was by far the best part of the movie.
It's one of the best action scenes ever.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing to happen, like, as far as just like a segment in any of these movies, probably one of the best segments we had, because it was just like all these heroes fighting. And this isn't really a spoiler, you know, Spider-Man's in it. And Spider-Man is so good. And not only in that, those scenes. And that is super cool, because he kind of has, like, a moment with a lot of, like, the big players.
Yeah. Don't talk about how he gets introduced here. Let's save that for spoilers, because it should be saved
right,
for that.
Right, but he is... But I will just say, this is definitely the... And it's funny, because he's not in this whole movie a whole lot, but he's still the best on-screen version of Spider-Man we see.
I mean, Spider-Man 1 and 2 are good movies. 3 is a god-awful train wreck. Amazing Spider-Man was okay. I never saw two, but I heard not great things.
Right.
I think that the 20 minutes of Spider-Man we got in this movie is the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Right. It's, you know, he does like, he is able to do that kind of, it's almost kind of hard now that we had the Deadpool movie, because
mm-hmm.
Deadpool was kind of like Spider-Man, but like to like a rated R.
Turned up to 11
right.
Rated R, yeah.
But you know, it was basically the same thing, like, oh, he's going to talk trash to you while fighting. It's kind of hard to differentiate Spider-Man from that. And the way you do it is by kind of making it a bit more of a Golly G thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, right? Like, he's taunting them and stuff, but it's almost like the people will get more upset at the fact that he's not taking it seriously, in a way.
Well, and it helps, too, that it's not Spider-Man fighting, like, some street thugs. He's fighting people that, like, he knows who they are. He's patterned his life after them, right, in a way, you know?
But it's cool, like, in this movie that they don't know who he really is, and they're kind of like, it's
who's
like,
who's this guy?
Right. And we're like, Spider-Man! Yeah. Yeah. He's more popular than all of you! At least he was until, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, that, like, Spider-Man's probably the best part of the movie. He's probably the best character in it. I think he's just super. Every scene he was in was great.
But I'd say that Black Panther really surprised me, because I mean I don't know.
I think for a lot of people he's the superhero that nobody knows a whole lot about.
Right, but he's the way they set him up in the movie is perfectly executed. You totally get who he is right away. Mm. The only thing I'm not quite, they don't really explain like why he's super powerful. He seems like, you know, he can run pretty fast and stuff. I don't know why. Maybe we get that explanation.
But yeah.
I'm sure it's in the comics and everyone knows.
I'm not super up on that. Whatever. So I don't know if he's like a Hawkeye where he's just like super good at stuff, or if he has some sort of outside power source. He was running pretty fast as augmented characters.
He
was running pretty fast. But
spoilers, Black Panther runs fast. Yeah.
I totally ruined. Don't even see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just kill yourself.
Okay, so how do you rank it among the Captain America movies?
I mean, Winter Soldier was so good. And then, I mean, the first Captain America is just so fun because it was a period World War II piece. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The Captain America movies are easily the best ones they make every time. I don't know why.
I love, yeah, Captain America.
Well, here's what's fun about Captain America. And that's what actually makes him so interesting in this movie. He's such a goody-two-shoes, baby-faced, do-right-for-America guy. But that's actually what kind of gets him in trouble in this movie.
Right.
And which is why I think it works so well.
They are able to make that character compelling. Because you think he would be bland.
Yeah.
But the way they kind of challenge his ideals in these movies always work. Yeah, I love Captain America 1. Captain America 1 is kind of a throwback to me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is Joe Johnston. It kind of feels like a Joe Johnston movie, which is a bit more like 90s Hollywood, in a fun sort of way, like these big set pieces, very, you know, you got like the trumpet themes and
I will say
the first half of Captain America is like incredible. I'm talking about one.
Uh-huh.
And like the second half is kind of fine once he becomes Captain America, but like the origin of Captain America.
Yeah, they nail that. Yeah.
Right. Captain America 2 was just great. I think like as like even just like a movie, very like the story was very fun. It flowed very well.
It was a political thriller wrapped in a superhero movie.
Like something like the best actually that was just like Captain America taking out thugs, right?
Right.
And stuff like that. And I don't think Civil War can compete with that in just like a story sense, because it's like an easier story to tell because you're just following Captain America.
Yeah.
Like he's pretty much always your point of view character. And this is a bit more confusing. So I think I definitely like Captain America 2 more than this. I might like 1 more than this still.
I don't know. See, I'm on the other end.
We both like this movie, but you liked it more than
me. I'm in that honeymoon period, which you know, you have to come off of a little bit. But I'm tempted to say that this is... We were talking about this last night. But it's between this Avengers and Guardians for the three best Marvel movies.
You wouldn't have Iron Man 1? People forget. I know it was the first one, but Iron Man 1 was so good.
It was, but I still think I'd put it below this.
Okay. I don't know. See, the ensemble ones, though, and that was my other question, like, where do you rank it with the Avengers movies, is I still like Avengers 1.
I mean,
1
the Avengers are so incredible for the fact that no one had even considered how do you take all these main characters and put them in one movie. That was the fear, like, can they do it again with Age of Ultron? And they kind of didn't. But then this movie did.
The problem with Age of Ultron was that they sold it as this kind of darker, grittier thing than it was. And the Marvel movies work because they aren't that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sell us that and then give us kind of another super quip fest.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I think Josh Whedon did a lot of these movies. I do think it's glad he's kind of stepping away a bit. That it is going to get maybe a little less quippy. This isn't a very quippy movie. There's lines and humorous moments.
Well, you have Robert Downey Jr. in the movie. It's going to happen.
It's going to be a little quippy, but... Age of Ultron, the trailer is like Ultron's like this really cool, kind of scary, menacing dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the movie, he was kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon villain.
Yeah, he was slinging one liners and stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as threatening as I thought it would be. And, can we go to the spoiler mode now?
Okay, so I'll play some music here. Okay. And then, so if you have not seen the movie, go see it as soon as possible. Pause this show and come back to it. But if you don't come back, that's okay. Maybe you don't like fun. So if you don't come back, check us out more. ebpodcast.com, iTunes Music Store, Google Play. Leave us reviews. All that jazz. So we'll be right back with spoilers for Civil War.
Oh, man. So it's interesting that there's... And so this was like the joke I would make about Batman versus Superman, which again, it's hilarious to compare these two movies because
yeah, which everyone's right. going to do.
But, and this is like the trailer for Batman Superman showed like, oh, guess what? They're gonna come together to fight a greater evil. And that was my big worry with this movie was ultimately
there's gonna be some big bad, which they tease throughout the whole movie.
Like,
I swear,
like ultimately they'll be like like, oh, never mind, this has been stupid. We just need to be friends. Like, I was worried that they were just gonna flip a switch at the end of this movie and status quo restored.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like and I respect that they didn't do that. At the end of this movie, there are two factions now, right, in the Avengers. Like, there are still issues that are not completely resolved.
Right.
Things definitely got heated to a point that went too far, and I think that both sides realized that, and they probably backed down from that.
Yeah, it's like, it's quieted, and like, I feel like if they passed each other in the street, they wouldn't try to, like, kill each other. But at the same time, like, they you know, because of what's happened, half the team is now on the bad side of the law in at large, and there's nothing like Iron Man can do about that. Mm. They're breaking out of the Raft prison. Like, he can't do too much about that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, and like, yeah, it's fun to kind of see like the regret on both sides, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays into some of the future movies. One of my favorite scenes outside of the just ridiculous team fight scene was with Iron Man just kind of walked into like that cell where they put like the Avengers that they captured.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this kind of like, wow, look, these guys are being treated like thugs.
Yeah, he like
saved the world and stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And he even tried to say, he's like, well, you broke the law. And they're like, oh, shut up.
Right.
So did you.
Right.
So, again, I have not seen Batman vs. Superman and really don't care to. So, take what I say with a grain of salt now. So, a lot of my comparisons are going to be on what was indicated to me in the marketing and what I have heard of the movie from people who have seen it. But the reason these characters fight in this movie is, first of all, we have their relationships. We know they really like each other. They have this kind of wedge put between them. They try to work it out. They almost work it out. And when there's no recourse left, they have to fight. But they still even like each other while they're fighting. Batman versus Superman just seemed like a Batman, who's a different Batman than we've ever known, just like, I'm going to fight that guy, and goes and fights him.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. But
Batman's motivation was, and he says in this scene, if there's even 1% chance that he could destroy the planet, then we have to take it as an absolute certainty. Which sounds like crazy talk.
Yeah, because there's a 1% chance that Batman could destroy the entire... There's a 1% chance that anybody can destroy the entire planet.
You might not have a 1% chance.
Look, I can litter a lot.
Okay? I can litter a lot. Right, but that was great.
And so there's that. Then here's the other thing. So we talk about, and this is the knock that Marvel always gets in their movies, the villains never quite stick. And what I like about this movie is there's this Remo guy who he has this agenda. And honestly, until he got to the end of his plan, I did not know what was going to happen. You think he's trying to work to resurrect all these old super soldiers that Hydra created using Winter Soldier as the template. And you're like, oh, he's going to, like, unleash them, and that's what's going to bring everybody together to fight. They actually come together on their own because he kind of manipulates it that way, and then he drops his bomb. And, like, it was, like, this brilliant work thing of, like, detective work and manipulation. And I'm like, well, that's what Batman does. Batman's the detective. Why does Batman think, well, I'm going to figure out how to punch this immortal guy so hard.
He's going to get punched so much.
But, yeah, like, but that was what was brilliant about this movie is... They're really... I mean, he was the villain, I guess, because he orchestrated a lot of this happening. But
there wasn't
a
strong... Yeah, it wasn't like... There wasn't like an Ultron or a
Yeah,
Loki.
I mean, the Sokovia Accord would have happened without Remo or not. Who knows how everything would have quite played out because, you know, Black Panther doesn't get involved, I guess, and things like that. But, yeah, that was all... Like, the way that was all handled was just so well done.
And Spider-Man's introduction was just great.
Here's what I love. It gets to the point where Tony Stark and Peter Parker talk to each other, and Peter Parker tries to be like, so here's what happened, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, it's great that
you got bit by a spider.
It's good to us, because you don't have to retell that origin story, because we've all seen it. Although, now that like I like the Spider-Man so much, part of me is almost like, I wonder what it would have been like. But no, we've seen it too. But the fun thing about the origin story is seeing the young, inexperienced Spider-Man, and you still get that.
Because, what's the actor's name who plays him? It starts with an H.
I don't know.
I forget it. He's 19 playing a 15-year-old, which he totally pulls off. And
well, it's much better than like the 20-somethings who are trying to play teenagers.
Right, exactly. And he he has that element that Spider-Man kind of has lacked, where he is just this kid who, yeah, he figured out how to make this webbing, but, like, his costume is just, like, a jumpsuit and some weird goggles he has. Like, it's nothing fancy, and... he's worried about missing homework and a math test and
right.
all that stuff. And that's what the juxtaposition of that to Tony Stark is really smart.
And it's good, like, the one thing that, like, was, like, kind of distracting me that they just acknowledge the fact that, like, Aunt May is, like, basically just looks like...
Well, it's Marissa Tomei, who at 55 looks pretty good.
Right, yeah, they're like, yeah, it's like, oh, man, this does not look like Aunt May. Because I still think of Aunt May as, like... super thin, frail Aunt May.
Well, Spider-Man 1 Aunt May. I mean, that was really right. ideal casting.
Like each time Aunt May just gets younger and younger, but they kind of acknowledge it in a way. It's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And remember, a lot of people were really hoping that they would do the Miles Morales Spider-Man, maybe like as a way to get around
selling. Nah, but not me.
Well, but and here's why you can't do it. Miles Morales in this movie doesn't work because, well, wait a minute. Who's this? This isn't Peter Parker. Why is he Spider-Man? Now we need to explain all this. It doesn't matter how he got bit by a radioactive spider. We all know he got bit by a radioactive spider and now he's Spider-Man. That's right. All you need to know. Mm-hmm. And that's it. But his fight, especially like when it's between him, Winter Soldier, and Falcon working against him inside the airport terminal.
Yeah, that's great.
Fantastic. What mm-hmm. a great setting for that fight, too.
One of my other favorite kind of things in the big team fight was Giant Man's surprise appearance. Mm-hmm. Because you always know, you know, Ant-Man could eventually learn how to become big, too. And, like, I always wondered, how would that actually look? Would that just look too corny and stupid?
They pulled it off.
It looked awesome.
They really pulled it off.
It really does have, like, that Godzilla vibe where, like, he's moving kind of slowly.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because Ant-Man is kind of Captain America's team's Spider-Man, where he's, like, a little starstruck by everything that's going on, and he thinks this is all so cool that he's included with everybody.
Right.
I love that part where he's just, like... he throws the fuel truck and, like, is like, here, throw this at the truck. And it's, like, the little embiggening device.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, cool. Like, that's been fun about these movies since Avengers 1 is, like, how do they synergize their superpowers right. with
that's,
each other?
That's always been fun about these things. Even, like, in, like, the video games, like, Ultimate Alliance and stuff. It's always just kind of fun. Like, oh, how's this going to happen? And you do wonder, like, is this going to wear off at some point? Like, it is, like, after Infinity War, where, like, you finally have, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy also meet these people. It's, like, the only other card they'll have with the play is, like, well, we own X-Men now, finally, and now we can do that.
I think after Phase 3, it'll be kind of a soft reboot. Not reboot, but, like, some characters will go away.
Yeah, I almost kind of want it, in a way. I almost kind of want, because it's been so strong so far, I almost do kind of want to be, like, Iron Man to Infinity War Part 2 is, like, this one awesome kind of cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't expect them to stop making superhero movies.
No, but, like, I mean, Chris Evans and Tony Stark can only play these characters for so long, you know?
And it's, yeah. And I was glad to see, too, that, like, none of them, like, just died.
Yeah, I was worried about that. Let's talk a little bit more in detail about Black Panther, too, because, like I said, I not knowing a lot about it, I know he's the king right. of Wakanda,
yeah.
and he's the Black Panther, and that's where vibranium comes from. That's about all I had.
No, yeah, he fits in the story very well, and it's kind of nice that they built it around him in a way, so, like, he didn't feel just like, who's this guy? Where's he coming from?
Well, and it's interesting, too, because his story arc ends the opposite place where Tony was going. Because once he realizes that he's been manipulated, he's able to let go of his need for vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony feeds right into it.
Right. But yeah. So yeah, it was definitely... Again, I don't know if it was one of my favorite Marvel movies like you. I liked it a lot. I don't know what... It is long. It is the longest one by far. And there are some moments I'm like, this is... Like as much as I liked... the villains kind of like stuff, there were a lot of scenes of him setting things up because you didn't know what he was doing, I would almost get anxious during them to kind of just like get back to the hero.
Well, and just the way the character was written, he's very slow and methodical.
Right, he's not like an exciting on-screen presence.
Right, I'll give you that.
He is just like a guy. And it's like, you know, his motivation's a mystery. And like, I liked what he ultimately did, but he wasn't like exciting to watch do things.
That's fair. I love the way how they play Vision, because this is kind of like the first full movie he's in.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with him and Scarlet Witch's relationship.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy just how many pieces there are here and how they actually still work together.
We even had what was his actual name? Crossbones.
Yeah. Like, he did show up after teasing it at the end of Captain America.
Yeah, and you know,
and it's nice that there are still like they are still continuing threads from the Captain America
and
movie.
And they were fine with killing him off. Like he just needed to kind of show up and be like the kind of fake villain for the prologue right. of the movie, and yeah, that's
it
cool.
is interesting that the prologue has a very traditional comic booky villain, right?
Yeah.
Alright, we're a little long for us. We're at 34 minutes. We gotta get back to work. Woo. We just on our lunch break. So, we're gonna call this here. But yeah.
Go see that movie. It's awesome.
Fun stuff. Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at eepodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store. Find all of our old shows. Leave us reviews. We always appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploring Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.